1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And this is an interesting question, and this is the question of the hour. This is what we're going to talk about. And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised, notice this, a spiritual body. I don't know if you've ever pondered that thought. You talk about an apparent oxymoron. A spiritual body. We can't even imagine that. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall also bear, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's talking about Jesus Christ, by the way, that second Adam. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to, Lord, carefully study this. I want to stay well within the boundaries of the Scriptures. Lord, what a fascinating subject. Thank you for including the Scriptures that shed light upon the glorified body, that spiritual body that we will one day, Lord, be able to occupy. And Lord, thank you, dear God. We thank you now for our earthly bodies. But Lord, they cannot be compared to that glorified body. And Lord, we do ask God that you would bless and help us as we study your word. I pray that this would be a source of encouragement to Christians tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize there's so much better things coming ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Several people have called me this last couple days, friends from other places, church members that were invited that weren't able to come. I shouldn't say church members, but people who used to be associated with us, hope that are no longer here. And they were saying, we wanted to hear about your big day. They said, first of all, they asked me, how are you? And that's not a good question to ask a couple days after a big day, or especially the day after a big day. And I've been tired. Anybody here been tired the last couple of days? If you're not, shame on you, because that didn't mean you do what you should have done. If we're planning a big day around here, you're supposed to go into it exhausted, come out of it exhausted. That's good. We're going to have an eternity to be rested up one of these days. But you know what? It was a good tired. You know, I say that a lot. Someone will say, Brother Gary, you look tired. And I'll say, you know what? It's a good tired. And there's a good tired and a bad tired. I watch the bad tired every Monday when I would see the men of the world come into where I worked at UPS. That's a bad tired. That's a bad exhausted. They're exhausted from a weekend of sin. But thank God, you know what? It's all right to be a little tired on Monday because of a weekend of working bus routes and going soul winning and running children's churches and inviting people and seeing 27 people saved. That's all right. I'll get a little tired over that. That's okay. Amen. You know, I think I might just do all that again this week. And the next week. Amen. But, you know, I guess as I thought about this and hung up the phone and finished out those conversations, you know, you get to thinking about the limitations of this physical body. You know, the truth is, we all have limitations. This body is mortal. This body is corruptible. This body gets sick. Unless the rapture happens, everybody in this room, it's going to be true of you, me, everybody, this body will die. And I got to thinking about how much better it's going to be when we get our glorified bodies. Let me say this. The more you study the Bible, and this is why I want you to study the Bible, this is why I want you to read your Bibles. If you become a person of this book, you know what? Death just really diminishes as far as its fearfulness and its dread. The things of this earth, they start to grow strangely dim. You know, I told a story Sunday morning about God sending an earthquake. And I'm going to walk a razor blade here for a minute. But you know what? For Christians, oh, Brother Jerry, I can't believe you told that story. A little 2 or 3 year old boy drowned in a 5 gallon bucket. And you said God used that to get his dad saved, his grandpa saved. And oh, my goodness sakes, isn't God a terrible God? God wouldn't allow something. You know, if we could spend, I want everybody to hear me tonight. Listen very carefully what I'm going to say. If you could spend 60 seconds in heaven, you would never again mourn for someone who's passed away that was saved. If you had any grief at all, it would be over the fact that you're still here. Brother Jerry, God's so mean, God's so cruel, God's so wicked. We lost a little baby. That baby is going to get to be raised in heaven. All right, I don't mind walking this razor edge. I'm a man of this book. I'm very comfortable where I'm at right now. I want you to come join me over in the comfort zone. Stop hanging on so tightly to things of this world. I'm glad for the opportunity we had to raise our children. But if they'd have been raised in heaven, that'd have been okay. Amen. Amen. Wow. I can't wait to get there. I'm excited about getting there. A lot of things that we have to deal with in this mortal body that we're not going to have to deal with in our glorified body. Are you still with me tonight? I feel a little lonely up here, amen. Some of you smile. I just at least think you were glad to be in church, amen. Come on. No, really. You know, let's stop being so carnally minded. Let's stop focusing so much on the temporal. Let's stop grabbing so, holding a tight of this old sinful, wicked world. Man alive, there's a better place. This isn't home. I don't feel at home here. I do here. This is one of the few locations on this earth I kind of feel at home. But even in this auditorium, there's still a longing in my heart. I sure don't go out there and feel at home. I feel like an alien. I feel like a stranger. Amen. There's a good place coming. And one of these days, we're going to get a glorified body. I'm going to give you about 2 or 3 minutes of
shot here. We're going to talk about, I'm going to give you 10 truths. Don't panic. I'm going to give you 10 truths about your glorified body that awaits you. 1 Corinthians 15, we read about the corruptible and the incorruptible, the mortal and the immortal. We talked about the earthly body and the heavenly body. Talked about the natural body, the spiritual body. And let me just say some things tonight about your glorified body that will await you. This is one of those messages just hopefully gets you hyped up a little bit about going to heaven. Amen? Number one, our glorified body will be available only at our death. That's the catch. Like here's a couple years ago or whatever it was, there was this big to-do over at St. Mary the Woods College because some one patriarch there, some woman that was there got voted into being a saint or voted or elected or I don't know how they do it. Well, I got thinking about that and I said, well, I'd like to be a saint. And so I got on the websites and researched it out and figured out all of the things, and there was about 8 or 10 qualifications to be a saint, and I was working my way down there, and then the very last one was you had to be dead. I decided maybe I didn't want to be a saint yet. Well, that's kind of the catch here also. If you want your glorified body, it's available only at your death. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Then he says this, thou fool, that which sowest is not quickened except it die. That which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. That's very interesting. I'm gonna give you a little something, and I don't know if I can explain all this. I'll be honest, there's only so much the Bible gives us in this. But I will say this, our natural body is the seed or the seedling for our spiritual body. It is. I wish I had time to chase this around. That's why we believe in the what resurrection of Jesus Christ? The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, that which is we have is going to be transformed, is going to be changed. Now, it's going to be comparing, they say, well, how much alike are they going to be? It's going to be like comparing a seed of corn. Some of you are planting your gardens are trying too soon. We're trying to. It stops raining. You take a seed of corn, kernel of corn, and then you walk over to a full developed stalk and you hold them beside each other and you go, wow, that came from that? And that's what we're going to say about our glorified body, but literally our natural body is the seed, the seed material, if you let me say, for our spiritual body. That's why it is, all right, don't get mad at me. I'm going to cause everybody to be upset. Some of you are still seething over the little thing about overweight. You get over that, all right, you know? Oh, I wish Baptists had come to get, you know, some of us, we don't have any other place to go to have fun. Some of you that go out and get involved in all the worldly entertainment, you know, you come here and you want to be serious, but we don't go to those things, so we got to come here and have fun, amen? But, what was I saying? Now I lost my train of thought there. Grain of corn, amen. And let me say this. That's why the Bible says that ought to be buried. You won't find a place in the Bible that says you're supposed to burn the body. You see, a Christian burial, Christian burial is a burial. Now you say, Brother Jerry, someone's cremated, does that mean they're not going to go to heaven? Oh my goodness sakes, God can find the seed. He knows where the seed's at. People have been dying for thousands of years. Many of them are completely to dust. God can do the miraculous. But I'm just saying, folks, that finds its roots in paganism. I've done funerals where people say, you know what, we're going to cremate the body. I never say a word. I'm just gracious. I just do the funeral. I don't preach a message against it. I don't rebuke the family. But if somebody asks me, I tell them that this body is important to God. And this body is to be buried. It's to be kept. Now, let me say this. Our glorified body, number one, will be available only at our death. And that's one of the things that's going to make the resurrection glorious. Number two, our glorified body will be, 1 Corinthians 15:44, a spiritual body. I want you to just absorb that. Can we just take 60 seconds or so and absorb that thought, and I'll move on? Think about that, a spiritual body. I'm going to talk to you about this in a little bit more in depth here when we get to the fact that it's a sinless body. But, you know, folks, our whole problem all of these years is our natural bodies. That one of our key problems is the flesh. And it's almost hard for us to comprehend living in a body that is spiritual. See, when you're born again, you're a triune creation. You have the spirit, which is reborn of God, that part which is rebirthed by God, that part that communicates with God, and that's where anything spiritual that's going to happen has to happen. You've got the flesh, which is the arch enemy of the spirit. Sorry. It is. It fights. The Bible says it warreth against the spirit so that we are not able to do the things we would do. And then the soul of man, the mind and the heart, the intellect and the emotions, are kind of that neutral party. If we strengthen ourselves spiritually, we tend to have spiritual thoughts and spiritual emotions. If the flesh is strengthened, we tend to have fleshly thoughts and fleshly emotions. And so that's why it's so important that we do all we can to exercise. We've got this, you know, black dog, white dog fight inside of us our whole lives. Romans chapter 7, if you have time later on to read it, where Paul describes this going on within him. Even that great preacher, that great missionary said, there's this battle, there's this war inside of me. And you know what? When we wake up, we occupy that glorified body. That body will be a spiritual body. No longer will we have that struggle. Isn't that awesome? Number three, our glorified body, and this goes right on to what I was saying, will be sinless. Let me just save us a little time here and read you some verses. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. Remember that, by the way, for later on. It says, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. Remember that for later on. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now listen, and there shall be, thou shalt in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22:11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. You know, for the first time in our life, because of the gift and grace of God, we're going to be living in a sinless body, a holy body, a righteous body. We'll be able to march right through the gates of pearl. You know what? The sign outside that says anything that defileth or worketh abomination or worketh a lie, keep out. That's not going to affect us at all. We'll be able to walk right in. You know why? Because we'll be in a spiritual body, a sinless body. Excuse me, but I want to just stop here and have a hallelujah fit. Amen. Sinless body. Sanctified body. A righteous body. A holy body. Thank God that the battle between the spirit, the reborn spirit, and the carnal flesh will for once and forever be laid to rest. Well, that's a blessing. Number four, let me give you this. Our glorified body, this is encouraging too, will be an eternal body. An eternal body. Now, when you're born into this world, you do not get an eternal body. The natural body is not an eternal body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're still there. We're staying here for a little bit, and then we'll move on. Notice this, it says, he also that so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You know what corruption means? It means that there is a decaying process going on. And that's going to happen in these bodies of ours. But when we get our new body, it's going to be incorruptible. Isn't that exciting? Boy, I tell you what, praise the Lord. Verse number 50 we read a second ago says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, when is that going to happen? Well, let me read the verse before. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, those who are already passed away before the rapture, shall be raised incorruptible, and we all shall be changed. I don't understand all of it, but I know when the trump sounds, somewhere between when this body starts lifting and when it arrives, that corruption is going to be put off, and I'm going to adopt or have be incorruptible. My mortality will drop away. And by the time I get to heaven following Jesus, I'll be immortal. Immortal. Our glorified body will be an eternal body. An eternal body. Revelation 21:4 says, "And the God shall wipe away all." I'm sorry. Revelation 22:1. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Now let me read Revelation 21:3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." An eternal body forever. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying." No more death. You know what? That's telling me I'll have an eternal. You know, this is sounding good already. It'll be spiritual. It'll be sinless. It'll be eternal. And by the way, this is just a fringe benefit of getting saved. I mean, I didn't even know all of this when I got saved. I found out about it after I got saved. This is just part of the package deal. Isn't that great? Let me give you another thought. Number five, our glorified body will be pain-free. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I was walking, had to change the sign. I came back across. Brother Don was letting Sister Jean out. Sister Jean was walking up the ramp. I watched her walk a little bit. She was struggling as she walked. Now, you young people, it's coming, by the way. It's coming. I always like it when a 16-year-old kid says, "Man, I hurt." Don't you just want to slap them when they say that? I'm kind of selective where I grumble. You know, if I'm around anybody much older than me, I don't say much. If I'm around young people, I just let them have it. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, I got it rough, you know. Pain-free. Pain-free. Have you been there beside the bed of a loved one? And you wish with all your heart you could just make the pain stop? I think one of the hardest things in life is watching somebody you love live in pain. Watching somebody you love suffer. You know, in heaven, you're never going to ever meet somebody or see somebody that's in pain. You will never experience pain in all of eternity. Man, this sounds like a deal. This sounds like a deal. Go to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Let me show you something else that's interesting about this new body we're going to get. 1 John chapter number 3. It's available at death. That's kind of the catch. But it'll be spiritual, it'll be sinless, it'll be eternal, and it'll be pain-free. 1 John chapter 3. Our glorified body will be like Jesus. Our glorified body. Number 6, our glorified body will be like Jesus. Same type of body, same kind of body. 1 John 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then it goes on to say, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You know what that means? That means when Jesus sounds the trumpet, by the time we reach him in the clouds, we'll be observing a glorified body from a glorified body. That's exciting. That's exciting. We're going to be, in that aspect, like the Son of God. That's why it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." Then he goes on to state verse number 2, and he's saying, listen, here's the deal, folks. This is why we're a privileged people. You know, Jesus, after his resurrection, that body he had, we're going to get one like that. We're going to get one like that. Now, let's take that and look at it, all right? Number 7, our glorified body will be flesh and blood, but not bound by the laws of physics or these earthly limitations that our body now faces. Go to Luke chapter number 24. This is why we can sorrow not as others that have no hope. Luke chapter number 24. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 31. This is where Jesus is walking down the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples. Luke 24, verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Notice this. And he what? Vanished out of their sight. And then we can jump on down then to verse number 36. And it says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. Now we're in the upper room, and these two disciples have run to Jerusalem and run up to the upper room to tell the disciples they saw Jesus. And when they're halfway through their explanation, boom, guess who appears but Jesus? If we went back to John chapter 20, we'd find out the Bible says that the doors were shut. That's neat. I'm going to have one of these, and I'm going to have a good time. Some of you that scare easily, man, you got all eternity to deal with that, amen? You're standing there and all of a sudden, poof, somebody appears right in front of you and just scares the bejeebers out of you, amen? You can't find in heaven where the Bible says you'll never be spooked. So, the Bible, by the way, verse 37, and they were terrified and frightened. Yeah, I suppose. You were all staring up here at me and all of a sudden, boom, right beside me appeared somebody. Some of you would trample each other trying to get out that back door, scare you to death. And I always wish, and if I, this is every 9-year-old boy's dream. And you think, you talk about playing hide and seek would have been so cool, you know. what we could have done, that would have been fun. Now the law of physics vanished. And by the way, look over verse number 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Say, how did he do that? He did that with that new body he has. Let me give you something to think about. I'll tell you something. It's going to be fun. We're going to be able to travel. We're going to be able to, what doors aren't going to mean anything. Walls aren't going to mean anything. Time and space, I don't think, are going to mean anything. I think we're going to be able to get from point A to point B. You never got to make a car payment. It won't matter how much gas is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Honestly. You say, Brother Jerry, why would we want to travel? I'll tell you why we want to travel. Because the Bible says that God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not. But I also do read the Bible. Most of you that think that you're the New Jerusalem's in heaven ought to read that portion of Scripture. The Bible says, I saw the New Jerusalem doing what? Descending down from heaven. Well, where is it descending? And if it's a New Jerusalem, what is it replacing? Oh, Brother Jerry, are you saying we're going to die and go to earth? I'm going to be at earth. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. Matter of fact, you're going to have a hard time tracking me down. I'm going to be buzzing around everywhere. I'm going to be visiting everything. And can I say this? I kind of like that idea. We're going to be able to see earth the way it was before sin corrupted it. You say, well, where are we going to live? I don't know all the answers to that. I don't know I can't even tell you what live means. So you're thinking about where your house is or where your abode is. And man, there's going to be a sign on my door, gone looking. If you want to come see me, just good luck. I mean, honestly, I think we've got this little narrow, you know, movie cartoon view of heaven where we're laying on some cloud playing a harp. That doesn't sound like any fun to me. I like the mountains. I think there's going to be mountains. I think that there's going to be rivers. You think about the most beautiful place you've ever been on this earth and realize that that is in its sin-cursed condition. This old planet, the Bible says, groans, wanting to be remade, we're going to have a time. So I may have a house in New Jerusalem, and I may have a cabin out in the remade Rocky Mountains. Come visit me sometime. Amen. I don't know what God will allow, what He won't allow, but we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time. Wherever we are, Jesus will be there, and that's okay. I've never been able to get anybody to explain that whole thing away about New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. It says it's coming down from heaven. I did read one commentator that says he thought it was floating somewhere between heaven and earth. I think we ought to just read the Bible and believe what it says.
While you're looking for heaven, I'm going to be looking around. Amen. I'm going to have a good time. Awesome. Awesome thought. Let me give you something else real quick. This will rejoice your hearts because you're Baptist people. But our glorified body will still be able to eat. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Gary, that's why they don't sound very spiritual. Well, Jesus did it. But it says in verse 40, when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and understood, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. By the way, that sounds good to me. I like fish, and I like honey, and I like honey in the honeycomb. Oh, we're going to get to eat. This is a neat thought. Read Revelation. We don't have time to chase all these verses down, but later on, go to Revelation 22:2. Think about the Garden of Eden. God said there's only one tree you can't eat of. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think they ate of the tree of life. We find out later on that there's a tree of life there in the garden. I think the reason they had eternal life, immortality, was because they ate of the tree of life. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God cut them off, sent cherubims, and wouldn't let them partake of the tree of life. You know what? Since then, it's been off limits, and it will be till we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, there's going to be a river flowing out of the throne of God, and there's going to be the tree of life is going to be there, and every month it will produce a different kind of fruit. That's neat. I like variety. And not only will I think we get to eat, I think we'll have to eat. I think that that's going to be necessary to our immortality. I don't understand it all, but all I know is if they'd have got to that tree of life in their sinful condition, they could have become immortal in their sin. That's why the cherubim had the flame of fire. That's why you can't find that tree. That's why it was taken on up to heaven. Again, I can't go into deep explanations because I don't want to go past what the Scripture teaches, but all I know this is I'm going to eat some bananas, maybe in January, and then a pear. I love pears. In February, and peaches, oh man, peaches at the right time of year are awesome in March, and just pick your favorite fruit after that. It's going to be on there. Maybe some fruits we've never heard of. Won't that be neat? And we'll get to eat. Amen. What's up? Brother, peas will be in the other place. If you want some peas, you're going to have to go the other place because there's no peas in heaven. In fact, you see no mention of vegetables at all in heaven. If I had all the junior kids in here, they'd all be screaming amen and waving their Bible. No. you know, isn't it interesting that, I don't know, the average normal person, God made us this way. I don't mean to, you may not like every fruit, but most people like fruit. And most people feel better after you've eaten fruit. I mean, you do. You may not be your first choice. You may go for the Hostess Ding Dong before you go for the apple.
But I guarantee you, a half hour later, you'll wish you had had the apple. You'd feel better if you had the apple. I don't know why I'm teaching this.
Matthew 17, there's going to be no ding-dongs in heaven, amen.
Well,
leave me alone.
They'll be sanctified ding-dongs now.
I'm going to have you go to Matthew 17.
Oh, heaven's going to be a good place. Heaven, you know what? That loved one that you missed, they're having a time. They're having absolutely the time of their life. They were allowed to write a postcard, they'd write back and say, hey, don't worry about me. You take care of yourself. I'm having a good time. Get here as quick as you can.
Matthew 17, 1 through 4. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to an high mountain. He was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. Remember that. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Jesus, Lord, is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. Notice this, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, nowhere do you see that Peter was introduced to these men. Let me tell you something else about our glorified bodies. We're going to be, they will be instantly recognizable. Brother Jerry, when I get to heaven, will I know my family? Yeah, absolutely, you'll know your family. I'll give you something else. You'll know people you never met before. Aren't you glad about this? Those of you that are like me that struggle with names. I mean, I don't think that, you know, kneeling here with Jesus was Moses and Elias and they had name tags. Peter looked at them and knew who they were. Isn't that going to be neat? So I've got to go find E.L. Moody. I've got to ask everybody until I find him. You'll know him. You don't have to ask anybody. When you see him, you'll know him. I'm going to go talk to Peter. I'm going to go talk to Peter. You'll know him. It don't make sense. Amen, it doesn't. Thank God we can't even imagine this. I mean, nothing like this mess we're in. Nothing like this mess we're in. So, yeah. You say, Brother Jerry, my spiritual body, will it be recognizable? Yes. Yes. Jesus was recognizable to the disciples. The only time that he wasn't when he did it on purpose. Because he had that power. But when Peter saw Moses and Elias, and we know that they were in their glorified bodies, because if we had time, we'd go over to the account in Luke chapter 9. It says not only that Jesus was transfigured before them, that Moses and Elias appeared in their glory. In their glory. So they were in their glorified bodies. Now that's neat. All through the ages, you say, famous people. No, I think we'll know everybody. We'll know them as we are known. That's going to be neat. Just walk up to somebody and know who they are. Know a little bit about them. Be able to converse and share things. I think the fellowship of heaven is going to be remarkable. I really do. I think about that. All the ages of eternity and all of the millions upon millions of saints of God and all of the different stories of grace. And I mean, it's going to be a remarkable place. A remarkable place. Let me say this in the end here. Our glorified body, I believe, will shine as a testimony of our faithfulness to God. Now, let me just challenge you. Because I think that there's a reason that Paul, when he wrote about, or Peter, when he wrote about our glorified, I'm sorry, John, 1 John chapter 3, when he wrote about our glorified bodies, I think there's a reason that he said, and encouraged us, therefore, we should purify ourselves. Now, stay with me a minute here. It says here that Jesus was transfigured and did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. By the way, no one's going to shine like Jesus. No one's going to shine like Jesus. But it does say that Moses and Elias appeared in their glory, and that word glory talks about the fact that they were illuminated. They shined. Now, let me have you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go back to where we started and we'll wrap this thing up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. In verse 38 of
1 Corinthians 15 it says, but God giveth it a body as he hath, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And I think the bodies are not going to be identical. I don't think it's going to be a cookie cutter situation. In verse number 40 it says, there are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial, the glory is talking about the illumination. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory or brightness of the sun, another glory or brightness of the moon, and another glory or brightness of the stars. And even amongst the stars, it goes on to say, for one star differeth from one another in glory or brightness. Then it says right after that, so also is the resurrection of the dead. I want to finish by reading you a verse that most of you know in Daniel chapter number 12 and verse 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, let me just tell you what I believe based on the verses I just read to you. I believe these glorified bodies are going to be awesome. They're going to be incredible. I think they're going to be a wonderful gift. One of the most enjoyable things about heaven is when we bust out of this earthly, fleshly cage we're in, and we have a spiritual body. But here's a thought. Let me just give it to you this way. Remember that Jesus, when we read about heaven, it says that there's no sun there, that Jesus is the light thereof. Like I said, no one will shine like Christ. He will provide light for all of us. But let me just say this. I don't know if it's so much that we illuminate or we... I don't think the source of light comes from us. Let me give you this. I think maybe God will give us a body in heaven that reflects the light of Jesus Christ to the same extent we were willing to reflect it while we were here on earth. That's why we get these kids in here and we sing, we see your lights. It's the light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's the light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a... And I think that this is too many Christians. And they're going to get to heaven and say, come on, Lord, give me a bright... He said, you know what, you're about a 15 watt. I'll give you about a 15 watt reflection up here. And I think, honestly, part of the reward of heaven, part of the recognition of heaven, is going to be the fact that we are going to be visibly, it's going to be visibly apparent to all the type of life that we live down here as far as trying to shine the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You turn many to righteousness. You'll shine as the brightness of the firmament. And folks, listen to me. Brother Jerry, I won't care. All I want to do is just get there. All I want to do is just get there. I think you're going to feel different at the judgment seat. I think you're going to feel different at the judgment seat. Americans, we do not have to fear arrest, real persecution, or death to walk out any time of any day and go into our neighborhoods and our places of employment and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we probably are the most notorious generation for hiding our light. Amen? You know why Moses and Elias shone bright and had to appear in their glory? Because when they were down here, you know what? They let whatever God was trying to shine through them, they let it shine. They were faithful to God. They were faithful to what God called them to do. And I want to encourage you that this glorified body, as wonderful as it's going to be, I think it honestly, will shine as a testimony in accordance to our faithfulness to God. Let's be faithful to God. Let's witness for God. I know many, many, many of you went above and beyond. We have a big day. We do more. We reach harder. We spend more hours. We probably live a very unbalanced life for a week or two. And I understand that it's almost impossible to live that way all the time. But it is possible every week of your life to be a witness. It is possible every week of your life to try to get somebody to come to church. I hope you got enough of a taste of that in the last week, that it won't be 6 months or a year when Brother Jerry passed out another blue card before you make a decision that you're going to try to commit yourself to bringing somebody to the house of God. I hope you got enough taste of it to say, you know what, this is something I can do every week. And you know what, I believe in heaven one of these days that will be reflected. Our immortal, glorified bodies, they're only available at our death. They're spiritual. They'll be sinless. They'll be eternal. They'll be pain-free. They'll be like Jesus. They'll not be bound by the laws of physics. They'll be able to eat. They'll be instantly recognizable. And I think they will shine as a testimony of our faithfulness to God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts. Thank you for these promises. Well, Lord, I don't believe any truth is shared with us for no reason. Everything that you give us, there's an element of motivation in the truth to encourage us to live a pure life, to encourage us to have a good testimony, to encourage us to shine brightly the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd, Lord, take these truths. Please encourage somebody that needed encouraged tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would lift up somebody that needs lifted up tonight. Help us to realize, Lord, there's something much better waiting for us than what we have here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.